Good morning. I'm very excited about what we're getting ready to do. I am actually, to be quite honest with you, kind of surprised when Mike agreed to do this for several reasons. Mike is, as many of you know, he is already ordained as a pastor with Calvary Chapel. And for 5 years now, I think, close to 5 years, you've been serving here, or 5 or 6 years he's been serving here at Hare Yeshua. 3 or 4 years ago, I guess you became one of our elders here as well. Incredibly faithful. More faithful than I am sometimes as far as being here and getting stuff set up and all of that. Just been a huge blessing all of these years, been a huge support. And I'm so grateful for that because Mike knows things about me that none of you do. And yet he has still been supportive. Hey, yeah, I know you're all going to go ask him, Mike, what do you know that we don't know? I trust him. So, but he still is so supportive and has been very supportive of this ministry and all of that. And it's just such a blessing to me. It's such a blessing to me. I want to say something before I get started with the message, which is going to be short. What was that? Which is going to be short. Just try it again. And Dell's has a stopwatch, right, Dell? You're keeping track? Okay. First of all, I want to say thank you, all of you that are here. Most of you are our regular attenders. Most of you have been here before. If you have not, Hare Yeshua is kind of unique. We are unique to the association that we're a part of, which is the Southern Baptist Association here in Butte County. Many of you may be, what? We're Southern Baptist? I didn't know that. Because we don't look like the normal Southern Baptist or even Northern Baptist, right, Joyce? We don't, yeah, okay. But I wanted to talk about that for just a minute. You know, we're not fully understood by the rest of the Christian church. We are part of, we are also Christians. We are Messianic. Messianic means of Messiah. Christian means of Christ. You know, it's semantics. You know, it's an English word, and, well, the other one is also an English word, but the point that I'm trying to make there is that we are part of the church, but as we understand it from God's word, even from the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, we are also part of Israel. And in fact, furthermore, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, if you've received Yeshua as your Savior, you are also part of Israel. So the part of the church that says to us, well, you don't have to be part of Israel anymore because now you're part of the church, we disagree with. In fact, we say to them, because of your faith in the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, you are part of Israel. You're grafted in. So where we sit is kind of in between because we have non-believing Jews that say, well, you're not Jewish. You're not of Israel anymore. Now, some of us may not be Jewish. I am Jewish by blood, but some may not be Jewish by blood. But we are all part of the seed of Abraham. We are all part of Israel because of the blood of Yeshua. And so we stand in this unity. Hare Yeshua is kind of unique in that we have non-Jews and Jews together, worshiping the Lord together with no dividing wall any longer. Because when Jesus came, guess what he did? He broke down that wall that divides us. But let me explain something he didn't do. He didn't say, stop being Jewish. Never said that. Paul never stopped being Jewish. And he didn't say to the Gentiles, stop being Gentile. He didn't say that either. Okay, so what did he do? He broke down the walls that divided us. And he made us one body in him. He made us both, Jew and Gentile, righteous before God, not based on our own works, not based on our observance, not based on anything like that, but based on his righteousness, he made us righteous. And so we stand righteous before God because of the blood of Yeshua. Now, there's a lot of churches that don't understand why we feel like we still have to practice Jewish customs or whatever. Well, first of all, we don't feel like we have to. We don't have to. We choose to. You know, it is part of our identity. And we worship God in that way. But secondly, it's also because those of us who are Jewish, we never stopped being Jewish when we became a believer in a Jewish Messiah. Follow the logic there. You know? But also, on top of that, to the Jews who are not believers, to be quite honest with you, we don't really care whether they accept us or not. Because the one who matters has accepted us. And that's the Lord. The Lord God. He sees us as part of Israel. In fact, Paul would say that the unbelieving Jew has removed themselves from Israel by their unbelief. They have removed themselves from Israel by their unbelief. That's what Paul said to those that did not believe in Yeshua. So our desire is to share part of what we do here at Hooray Yeshua unashamedly, is share the good news with the Jewish people. We don't rub it in their faces. We don't talk to them if they don't want to talk to us. But if they want to know, we're going to share. And we're going to share it. We're going to share that hope that we have in Yeshua. Now, I wanted to just put that out there because we are kind of a unique congregation within the association. I don't see a lot of people from the association this morning, but Doug Crowder, Pastor Doug, from Magalia Pines Baptist Church is here. And I wanted to say thank you to Pastor Doug because from the very beginning of Hooray Yeshua, he has been incredibly supportive, very supportive of this mission, really is what it was when we started, of this congregation. And I think there might be times he thought I was a little weird, maybe knew I was weird. I kind of think he's a little weird too, so we're good, you know. But he's continued to support what?
Peculiar,
that's a good word, yeah, peculiar, yeah. A little bit later on, I'm going to have Doug share a little bit, too, from the Word. So I wanted to go into, I would like us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I think it's important as we get ready to do the ordination, as we get ready to ordain Mike as a pastor here at Hooray Yeshua. What does that actually mean? Well, Mike has been an elder. He will continue to be an elder because an elder is a pastor. But there's a little bit more, I guess you could say, authority that we are recognizing that he has a calling to also speak the word of God. On top of being an elder, he also has a calling to speak the word of God. And he also has a calling and a gift in administration, as we have all seen here at Hooray Yeshua. In fact, I'm very grateful for his administration in so many different areas. So many different areas. Things that I am not very competent in, I'll be quite honest with you. And so God has different gifts, gives us different gifts. Dell, as you know, keeps running off to Israel. We love Dell tremendously. Dell has been so supportive from the beginning as well. And Dell is one of our pastors as well here at Hooray Yeshua. Dell, though, has very important things that God has called him to, ministering to Holocaust survivors in Israel. And that is something that ministry is only going to be around probably for another 5-10 years, really, when you think about it. And that is such an important ministry. Such an important ministry. And we are an extension. They're an extension of us there in Israel working with that. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, Dell always lets us down by running off to Israel. Not saying that at all. I'm saying I'm very grateful, but God has called Dell to some other thing. Dell and Gene both to some other ministry. So they can't always be here. As you know, I can't always be here. Heather and I ourselves have gone running off to Europe, and then we're getting ready to run off to Israel again, you know. So it just kind of made sense to me that we have someone else to come on board here at Hooray Yeshua as a pastor And I also see the calling that God has put on his life. So this part of this is also to continue to have stability here when God calls some of us to different places, some of the leadership to different places. Doug knows how that is because he's always going places too, and now his people are going places. So, you know, so that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And until we go to be with the Lord, we're going to be going all over the place as God calls us, you know. So I want to say something this morning from 1 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. And that word, if anybody sets their heart on being an overseer, the word is kind of scary there when you look at it. The Greek word means bishop, episcopate, all these words. Anyways, basically, it's going to describe what that really is. It's basically an elder, but it's an elder that has been called, and in this case with Mike, to a particular calling of pastoring, which pastoring has to do with mainly interacting with people and helping them in their walk with the Lord. It's really very simple. Preaching is only a small part of that. There's a lot more to pastoring, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of that today. But it says here, Paul says here, that it is a beautiful thing. It is a good thing. That word, a noble, means beautiful, chiefly good, valuable, virtuous, honest, worthy. Now, let me say there are some people who desire to be a pastor for the wrong reasons. Okay, they don't know, first of all, they have no clue what they're getting into. It looks like fun, you know, because you get to stand up in front of people and preach, and you get to, you know, I don't know, you get authority, you know, whatever comes into their minds as being a pastor is like a good thing. Well, it is a good thing if you're called. It's not such a good thing if you're not called. Okay, if you're called to be a pastor, it's a good thing. Why? Because the Lord will give you the power and the strength to do it. I have people that ask me all the time, well, how do you pastor one church, let alone two churches? How do you pastor? How do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I'll be quite honest with you. I have no clue. Actually, I do know. The only way is by the power of the Lord. The only way is the Spirit of the Lord. There has to be the calling. And so we wouldn't be here talking about Mike today if I didn't see and have seen for a while, and you have also seen this, a calling on his life. And so that's part of this whole thing, is that we recognize that Mike has this calling. And he is not coming into this blind. He is not coming into this without understanding of what he's getting into. You know, to be quite honest with you, there are days that every pastor has that we just want to say, forget this. I don't want to do this anymore. It's not worth it. That's our flesh talking, okay? Because even pastors have flesh. We have an old nature that we have to die to. So there's days where we feel like that, just like anyone else feels like that. And so there's an understanding, though, that if God calls you, he will give you the strength, the ability, everything you need to accomplish that task. But what I want to talk about, first of all, is some of the qualifications. So first of all, Paul says it's a good thing. It's only a good thing because it's something God gives you the power to do. But let's talk about the qualifications. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. Some of you may disagree with this, but I don't believe this is necessarily talking about never having been divorced, even though Mike has not been divorced. But that it has to do with being faithful to the wife that he has. Not sleeping around, not sexually immoral. So qualification number one, husband of one wife. Once again, some of you may disagree with me on this, but I see this as being, is this a person who is faithful? Is this a man who is faithful to his wife? And what I have seen all the time that I have known Mike, over 20 years, 21, 22, something like that, he is a man who is faithful to his wife. He is a man who loves his wife deeply. Second to God, he loves Bobby. And even, I mean, he will go to bat, he will fight for her too. He'll fight for her honor, you know. And I see this as, you know, he's an example in my life of somebody who truly loves his wife and truly is a husband that is willing to lay down his life for his wife, give himself for his wife, just as Christ gave himself for us. Temperate. Next to temperate in most dictionaries is Mike Howard that I've seen. I'm sorry, but that's what I see. Okay, I don't know what he's like behind. After the door closes, he might go, you know, I don't know. But he's self-controlled, he's sober and circumspect. He doesn't waver back and forth. He's safe. In fact, we call him Mr. Safety. Drives 5 miles under the speed limit. Drives me nuts when I'm in the car with him. Drives me insane, okay? But he is Mr. Safety. You know, he believes in obeying the rules that are set out there. He is temperate. In many ways. Not wavering. You don't see him going back and forth in his faith. And he's sober. There are things that God has done in his life that I've seen God do in his life. I don't think he would even be here this morning ready to do this. He would be here, but he wouldn't be ready to do this if God had not done some things recently even in his life of just making putting him in a place where he is ready to take on that call, to take on that call. But temperate is something that I see with him. Respectable, orderly, decorous, of good behavior, modest. Once again, I don't think I have to say a lot there with Mike. Hospitable, fond of guests, given to hospitality. You know, if you need something, if, I shouldn't say this, but if you can't pay for your computer, he'll take a trade. he'll take a chicken for it or something, you know? What? Beef jerky. Beef jerky. Okay, good. Somebody tried to give him a pack of beer once, I think. I don't know how that went. We'll get to that later. Anyway, respectable, orderly, decorous, of good behavior, hospitable, fond of guests. Every single time we have a need as a family, but even we know others as well, they're invited over, invited into the house. Bobby is she loves people. You know, this is not just a one-sided thing, okay? When we call a man to be a pastor, it's his wife that is absolutely involved in that calling as well. It's both of them together. And so as we go through this list, I see that in both of them. Not perfect with anybody, but we still see that. Able to teach. You know, Mike is an incredible instructor. I have learned so much as his son-in-law. Things that he has taught me. And what I love about it is he comes alongside and he doesn't make you feel like you're a total idiot. You might be. I'm not saying you, but I might. I have been a few times. But he comes alongside and so graciously helps me along, helps me learn what I need to learn in a certain situation. You know, there were many times that I'm sure that I exasperated him with my lack of car knowledge, my lack of good financial skills. Remember, I'm married to his daughter. So I'm sure that that was, you know. But in every case that I see, Mike was very gracious and he came alongside and said just the right thing so that I would listen and I would learn and I would grow in that. And he would help me grow in that. And I really do appreciate that. I see him as a very able teacher for those that are willing to listen. And when it comes to teaching the word as well, there is a stability there. You see, you know the word of God is going to be spoken, not the word of man, not his own words, but he really seeks to speak and teach the word of God. Not given to drunkenness. I told you we'd get there. I don't even know what to say there. I've never seen him drunk. Never, ever have I seen him drunk. Once again, it doesn't say don't drink. It just says do not be drunk. And Mike has never, in our presence, in any point, any time, I've never seen him given to any type of drunkenness on any level. I don't even, you know. That's not even an issue that I see there. Not violent. Oh, no, wait. Where am I? Yeah. Not given to drunkenness. And the other thing, too, is are any other intoxicating substance, drugs or any of those things? Those are things that maybe a long time ago when they first got married, they were hippies, so, you know, can't speak for that time. But God has completely freed them from anything like that. So, not violent. You know, this is something that I believe God has worked in his life and removed violence from him. I hear stories. And I've seen looks early on. But God has given him a peaceful spirit, a calm spirit, and he handles his emotions and his angers in anger in an appropriate way. He gives it to the Lord. And it's so neat to see that. Gentle, not violent, but gentle. Once again, watching his interaction with people, it is a gentle interaction. Even when he doesn't agree or doesn't like what's happening, what's going on, you know, it's gentle. Not quarrelsome. He's not a brawler. Thank God. I would have probably gotten in trouble a long time ago if he was. Not someone who argues or fights or causes disputes. You know, this is important. We're not just talking physical. We're talking somebody who starts disputes in the congregation. In fact, if anything, Mike is the one that calms them down, that ends it. You know, he doesn't go around, you know, with theological points and trying to argue with people, or if you disagree with something, he doesn't start an argument with you. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. Unavariciousness, without covetousness, not greedy of filthy lucre. There's a lot of things Mike could be doing other than what he's doing. There's a lot of things that he has been successful in the past and could be very successful in. And some of you don't know, but he had a very successful job in computers before he moved out here. And they were very sorry to see him go. And he was making way more than he's ever made out here. This is where he felt God called him. He is definitely not getting into the ministry to make money, as you well know. That's not something we do when those who are truly called to the ministry, I believe, we don't make a lot, but we make what we need. God provides for us. Now, in today's society, you see people who are constantly asking for money. You see all sorts of this people that get into the ministry for filthy lucre. So I don't see that with him at all. He must manage his own family well. It means to stand before, to preside over, to practice, maintain, be over, rule. I don't think I need to say anything about that because I think it's clear what we see with his daughter, his son, but also his grandchildren. You know, Mike and Bobby have been a huge part of seeing these children raised the way you see them. They've been a huge part in that. It hasn't just been Heather and myself. They have also poured their lives into our children as well and helped to see these children grow and the godly children that we have. Also is because of that has been passed on from generation to generation. See that his children obey him with proper respect. Absolutely. Absolutely. Across the board. Respect is one of the things that you see in the Howard household, and it also has been passed on. So He must not be a recent convert. Mike, how long have you been a believer? 30 what? 31 years. Not a recent convert. Convert. And the reason for that is, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. You know, Mike understands and knows why he's getting into this and what is and who is going to be giving him the ability to do it. It's not him, it's the Lord, and he understands that. And he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into the disgrace and into the devil's trap. Good business, good reputation in the community. You know, when I tell people who know him, they're like, oh, I know Mike. Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's really, you know, he's honest, he's helpful, all of these things. Now, if you go back far enough, no, I'm just playing. Reputation in the community back in the 70s or 60s, but we won't, yeah, okay, never mind. But that has all changed. And those who know him from back then are so incredibly surprised by what God has done in his life. In a good way, they give glory to God. I believe Michael Howard not only fulfills all these requirements of an overseer, but he stands out as an example of them and yet remains humble. Except for today. No, I'm just playing. It is also obvious to me that he has been called to serve the Lord as a pastor here at Hare Yeshua. What I'd like to do right now is bring up two chairs. Let's grab two chairs. Because Mike and Bobby, I want them to both be up here. And for the sake of time, we're not going to worry about time too much, but a little bit. Del. I'd like to have Mike and Bobby come forward. I'm going to go ahead and anoint Mike and Bobby with oil, and then we're going to begin to pray. And just to let you guys know, kind of what I'd like to do is have maybe two people from the congregation pray over them. Not long, just but something the Lord has put on your heart. And then I would like our deacon, Daniel, to come pray. And then our two elders, Mike Johnson and Chris Logan. And then the pastors will come up and pray. And then Pastor Doug has something that he would also is going to share with us. And then Mike has closing statements, and then we will be done. So that's basically. So let me go ahead and. Oh, yeah. We'll do it right now. Here, hold that. We have a blessing that we say there's a blessing for everything, remember. But when something exciting is happening, I just went away from it. I don't know how. And this blessing is, we'll just do it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shech hiyanu, Veki Yamanu, Veki Yanu, Lazman Hazeh. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive and has sustained us and brought us to this season. Amen. If you feel led of the Lord, please, only two people from the congregation, please come forward and pray over Mike and Bobby.
Dear God, I thank you for Bubby and Pa. That you have done mighty wonders in their lives.
Yes, sir.
God, that you have not only brought them to this day and this season, but you brought them together to this day and this season.
Yes.
God, I thank you for all they've poured into our family and all that they've taught us. And I pray that you would continue to work in their lives as a unit together,
yes,
in this congregation, and that their wisdom would flow into the hearts of others, and that the earnesty that is so plain on their faces, God, that would touch those who enter these doors and who come to worship you. And God, that you would bless them as they draw near to you.
Amen. Anyone else? You're going to come up later, Mike. You're an elder. I'm sorry.
Oh, Father, I thank you so much for Bobby and Mike and what they've been to this congregation. I just thank you for them. I thank you for their hard work and their faithfulness. Their frustrations that they didn't give up and they just stayed with us. And I just thank you for that. I just ask you, Father, to continue to bless them and lead them and guide them and direct them in your steps.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you to strengthen them with might. Strengthen them in their spirit. Strengthen them in their body and in their mind and in their emotions, that they can carry out this call with joy in their heart. Father, I ask you to give them wisdom of your will, that they're fruitful in everything they do. I ask you to anoint them with power and might, that they may speak your word with boldness and utter your truth, Lord, without compromise. I ask you to give them that strength that will cause their backbone to be straight and strong and immovable in you, O Lord. That they are, we thank you that they are the role model that they are, an example to all of us. I ask you to protect them. Protect them from the evil one that tries to come in any way, shape, or form, and move them from the path that you have put them on. I ask you, Father, to pour out your spirit upon them, that you'll refill them, refill him to overflowing with your spirit, Lord, that he may move about in your gifts.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you in Jesus' name. Yeshua, amen.
Daniel, if you could please come forward. Daniel is our deacon.
Jeremiah 33, verse 2 and 3. I believe this is for you and Bubby both. That you're going to enter a time with the Lord in this way. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Father, thank you for bringing him into this part of the destiny,
yes,
in the kingdom of God,
yes,
at this time to find treasures,
yes,
unknown, unfathomable, even for them, hard, it'll be hard for them to even explain it to others, the blessings, the treasures that you will show them and reveal to them,
yes,
as they minister to your people here and in the community as they always have and always will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to have Mike Johnson and Chris Logan come.
Lord, it's not often that you send some people to my life that I can adopt into my family without even blinking an eye. These are like my brother and sister.
Thank you.
They do things for us, and we do things for them. And we thank you, Lord, for this position that you've given them.
Yes, sir.
Because we know that it's of you. It's of your will that this happened. You've given us a blessing to this congregation to have someone like them to be able to help minister to us and lead us in the path that you've laid out for us. So please, Lord, keep your hand on them. Keep your hand on them through everything. We know that it's the right thing to do. We know it's the right decision, and it came from you. And thank you for giving us that.
Yes.
And just bless these people.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Bobby and Mike and the love that they have for us. Pastors are shepherds. They're not cowboys. You know, a shepherd watches over his flock.
Thank you.
And he's the door on the sheepfold that nobody's going to get to the sheep unless they go through the pastor. And we just thank you and give them encouragement.
Yes, sir.
Give them the strength that you're going to need, Father, to lead as you have called them to do, Father. We just thank you. Anoint them mightily, Lord. Give them the strength and all the ability that they need, Father, in Yeshua's name.
Thank you. I'd like to have the four pastors that are here come forward. And Pastor Dave, too. So we have a representation of not only our congregation with Pastor Dell, myself, but also our association with Pastor Doug Crowder and Pastor Dave Snow. And so it's great to have both of you here. Thank you for coming and the support. And I'm going to let the pastors pray at this point. So start with you.
Lord, today we heard that you, Yeshua, through the Torah, is the door.
Yes, Lord.
And you have chosen Mike to be one to show the people, the sheep, where that door is.
Yes, Lord.
With that comes a responsibility, and I pray that you'll protect him from all things that come against him doing this. Give him the strength and the encouragement. And maybe throw him a bone now and then. And thank you for his helpmate.
Yes, sir.
She has made such a difference, I can see, in his life. And I just ask you to continue protecting them, keeping your hand over them.
Yes, sir.
And giving him knowledge beyond what we can imagine. I just thank you for bringing them into our lives and into this congregation. And so I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to be doing,
yes, sir,
with them here, Lord. And I pray this in your Son and our Savior, Yeshua.
Lord, we are so grateful for that you have begun in this life.
Yes, sir.
That, Lord, that you have put together to bring honor and glory to your name.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, as you've placed Mike and his family in this congregation to draw all men to you, Lord, we just pray that your strength and your wisdom and your power would be seen in his life. Lord, that you've started, you would finish in a great and glorious way,
yes,
to bring honor to your name.
Yes.
Lord, we do trust you for the outcome, and we ask your great blessings on that only you can do. In Jesus' name.
Father, we count it such a privilege to come together with Mike and Bobby, and we just thank you for this opportunity. We know, Father, that you call as you have called in the past, as you have used your Holy Spirit to call Paul and Barnabas to the work that you had called them to. You continue to call certain ones to the pastorate, and we thank you for setting aside Mike and Bobby for the work that you have for them. I just pray, Father, that you will give Mike a forehead like you gave Ezekiel as he seeks to minister in your name. And we thank you for what he has been to this church, to Horatio, and what he is going to be. And we thank you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we are so, once again, we are so grateful and thankful to you for the way you work in our lives, the way you work in our hearts. And Lord, I ask right now that you will anoint Mike and Bobby for the tasks that you have for them. Lord, that I pray that you will keep them humble in every way. Lord, recognizing that it is not their power, but your power flowing through them and working through them. And Lord, I thank you for both of them and the gifts and the skills that you have already given them, Lord. I thank you for the many gifts that you have given Mike, administration and worship and teaching and preaching and all of these things, Lord, and also just his interaction with people. And for Bobby, Lord, her gift of hospitality and love and her work with the children, Lord, and her and passionate love for them and the way they love her too, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as they need new gifts, that you will provide for them, Lord, that you will give them as they have to interact and go through new and different things as maybe this may call them or they may have to in this position. Lord, we pray you will just gift them at the right time. And Lord, I pray that you will give them a passion and a love for the people here at Hare Yeshua. Lord, these are your people. They don't belong to us as pastors. They don't belong to, but Lord, we belong to you. And we are just under shepherds, Lord, or of your flock. And Lord, that comes with a lot of responsibility. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us as pastors will be humble before you, recognizing that, Lord, we are not the head, you are the head. And, Lord, I thank you that Mike and Bobby recognize this, and I know that they will be pointing people to you all the time, Lord. And I just ask once again, anoint them with your power, with your spirit right now, in the name and power of the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
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 You're on. Pastor Sam is to our differences and our callings and the things that God has put together. And that in so many ways where we seem different, we are indeed one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul has gone through the understanding of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has determined to give to his people and how he gives them for the common good and he gives them for the benefit of all and he gives them individually as he will. Verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all these things distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He goes on to talk about your body, and where would you be if you didn't have a foot? Where would you be if you didn't have an eye? It'd be kind of silly to say we should all be ears and just sit here, you know, calmly and listen. But you see, the Lord has gifted some with feet. And he's called us to go, so that's a handy thing to have. And he has gifted the hands, and he has gifted the mouths, if you will. And he has gifted the eyes to see those needs in all the circumstances and situations of life that God has put us in. But not all are the same. So he says we share different gifts and different things. We're one body so that we can care for one another. I shared recently and sometimes frivolously, I share things from the pulpit and try not to, but it happens anyway. But you know, we talk about how people want to have something in common with their spouse. And you hear, I'm just looking for that person that I have something in common with. And the truth is, don't look around and don't raise your hand, but many of us, all of us, are married to someone who is not exactly like us. That's a good thing, okay? Lest you think you're going the wrong way with that. That's the good news, because all of us have need of a helper. All of us have need of a counterpoint. All of us have need of the other side of our life. It's what makes us whole. And if everybody in the congregation had exactly the same view, the exact same task, the exact same mission, same ministry, it'd be the most boring place you could ever be. See? You want to be around people. If you're one of those quiet and shy people, you want to be around people who are exciting, because then you can got somebody to hide behind. You know? And if you're one of those exciting and go-getters and you're challenging people all the time, you know, what would you do if everybody was trying to be like that? You know, it'd be total chaos, and you wouldn't like it. You'd have to find some place to go where there were some quiet people who would listen to you. You know? And so God has put this together. And so as he drops on down in the chapter, he says that now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And then he talks about the tasks that come to it. You know, Moses is highly revered in Scripture. But aside from all that he fell short in, there were some things he was missing. And, oh God, I can't speak. And God said, okay, we'll get Aaron. He'll speak. And so Aaron, you know, was that fulfilling part of Moses' ministry. Oh, and let's not forget Miriam, who led worship. Moses is big, you know, on calling fire and all those things and opening the earth. You know. But Miriam, you know, she had to be the heart there. And Aaron, the drawing people to that sacrifice and to represent that high priest who is Jesus Christ. Oh, he needed those other parts to fulfill his ministry. And same way in your congregation. Sam is not all things to all men, even if he desired to be. And Mike is not either. And they're very different, by the way. And so Mike said, praise the Lord. But in the process of it, we begin to understand how we fit together exactly as God has planned. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. I'll show you a still more excellent way if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but do not have love. I am just noisy. Just noisy. So it matters not to the whole, if you have the most incredible gifts that have ever been displayed in a congregation, matters not if you are the greatest administrator to ever enter the door or the greatest preacher that God ever put words in his mouth. It matters not if your connection with those things of the congregation is so that people absolutely depend on you in everything. If you have not love. See, that's really the continuation of those verses. God gifts for the purpose of the common good as he wills. And he tasks as he wills. But to have the gifts and to know the task and to not have love is just noise. Just noise. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there are some churches on the planet that are filled with noise. And some of it is cool noise, and some of it is awful noise, but it's still noise. So Mike, God has called you. Ordination is nothing more than God's people recognizing what God has already done, period. Nothing magical or mystical about this day. Just a recognition of the love that God's put in you. Of the heart that God has given you for his people in this place. Oh, display your gifts and you have some. And do the task as you've been called. Oh, but love these people. Love these people with all your heart. Because that's what God is up to. He had to command us to love one another because it sometimes is difficult. Oh, but he has gifted you to be able to love them. He has given you the task of loving them. No matter what. No matter who and no matter when. I suspect of all the challenges of ministry, preaching's just fun. And music is cool. And visiting the sick, that's warm. But love. Oh, faith. Hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Congregation, it commands the same. Love one another as God has loved you. He's given you the gifts. He's given you the task. Love one another. Lord, we do thank you for Mike's love in this place. Lord, his love in his family, his love among your people, his love among those with whom you have called him to serve. So, Lord, we ask that you not only bless him, but strengthen him, Lord, for the days ahead, that others would come to know you because of his love for you. We just thank you, Lord. Give you all the glory, honor, dominion forever. Amen.
You get to speak. Got to be short, though.
First and foremost, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for worshiping with us. The the stories I could tell you about Pastor Sam. But I want you to understand. Yeah, I know. Pastor Dave promised me some increases in my pay or something here today. But what I want you to understand is what Pastor Sam said is true. There are too many in the world today, too many in the churches today that have made the pastorate a job. It's a profession. And you've got, and I can tell you this for a fact, and Pastor Doug and Pastor Dave and Del, they can tell you it's true. There are some pastors that aren't even saved that are running churches. And that's sad. The other thing is, I've known Sam for 20-some years, 21 years, 22 years. First time I met him was something else. The second time, when he asked for my daughter's hand, he made sure that I was knee-deep in wet concrete so I couldn't run after him. I was in the middle of putting a parking lot in another church in Colorado. And but anyway, he is my pastor. He is our pastor. And that's what I wanted to recognize as well. He's not just my son-in-law. He's also our pastor. And I appreciate him. I really do. I know I tease, and I know I have a bad habit of introducing him as my father sometimes, and some people actually believed it for a while. There was a few of you here that didn't realize I was joking. And I'm and a lot of you have known and heard my testimony. And the one thing that stands out of my mind was when God impressed upon my wife that she would be married to a pastor. Her reaction was that she cried and cried and cried her eyes out because she knew she wasn't going to divorce me. So she knew that God had to kill me so she could marry a pastor. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Again, thank you for being here. It's special to me. It means a lot to me. And what this means to me is that you are allowing me the privilege to serve you. Because really, that's all the pastorate is a servant. We're here for you. You're not here for us. We're not here to do anything except meet the needs of the flock. I know sometimes I say things I get in trouble for. And that's okay. I'm just a man. I'm just a sinner saved by grace through faith. So if I say things like, not low battery. No. So if I say things like, or tease people, that the children, I was teaching children in Colorado. I got in a lot of trouble because they were teaching the kids in Sunday school, what does the sheep say? The sheep say, baa, right? Right? No, I was teaching them, you're not meeting my needs. So I got in trouble. So anyway, so forgive me if I get in trouble, but I'm just a man. Thank you. And I think we have some cake. I'm going to let Pastor Sam close us with the blessings. And we look forward to serving here at Horea Shua.
Thank you. So we've heard a challenge to our congregation from Pastor Doug today to love each other, and that's really what it's all about. And it is a privilege to have Mike come on board here. And like he said, as a servant, that's, I am too. I'm your servant. And it is a privilege to serve the Lord by serving you. Let's go ahead and close with the Aaronic blessing. And I don't know where my book is. Do you have it, Mike? Oh, well.